something about myself. I would think most people here probably know me. I've been coming here for quite some time. I work in marketing advertising. Anyone else? I have a lovely wife. Do you guys know her, Dale?
Yes.
We are Sal Eaters here and been coming here for a long time and like it a lot. So that's about all you probably need to know about me for now. Alright, so I'm going to continue today the interesting topic of finances.
Yeah. Dum dum dum.
You're right, this is a tough crowd, man. We're talking about having a godly perspective on finances and kind of going into that and thinking, well, what does that actually mean? Like, you know, I think to me, I like thinking about finances, I guess. You know, I've been trying to be, you know, wise with my money and learn about investing and learn about saving and all that good stuff. And what does, you know, having a godly perspective on that mean, right? So that's kind of what we're looking at today. And last week, Gerber was talking about finances. And the one thing that really struck me about his message last week was he was talking about, you know, if we're living, you know, in fear, if we're living in worry and not trusting God, we're kind of serving money, right? And I've heard that said before, and that's all fine. But the one thing he said was, don't let money make your decisions. And I was like, that's really, really interesting. Because more often than not, I decide what I'm going to do with how much money is in my bank account. You know what I mean? Like, last summer, we had the opportunity to go to Norway with the church. And that was an interesting thing because, you know, we were talking about it and for the two of us, it was, you know, it was around $3,000. And I didn't really have that money in my bank account. And, you know, we were talking about going and I could have logically in that moment been like, well, it's a lot of money that I don't really have to go on this trip. And it sounded great. It sounded like a good opportunity. But in that moment, you can let money make your decisions. Or you can ask God about the decision and say, God, like, what is your perspective on this? And that's what Jordan was talking about last week, was allowing God to kind of, in that moment, right, you know, make that decision. You know, we chose to, in that moment, to say, to commit to it and say, yeah, absolutely, we want to do it. And when the time came, we had the money for it, right?
Yeah.
You know, it was there. I mean, like, there was numerous people on the trip with us, and none of us at the time had the cash to go to this thing, right? But, you know, so that's something that he was talking about last week, and that's something that really struck out to me. So this week, we're continuing the series, and we're talking a little bit more about, you know, fear and worry with money. And one thing we're gonna go through the story in Luke. It's a parable that Jesus gave, and he was talking about investing. And he was talking about. So we're gonna go ahead and read this. So turn in your Bibles if you want. We're gonna have it up here as well. But you can go ahead and turn to Luke 19 at verse 12. And I'm gonna read it from my handy dandy Bible. Loosen up a bit. This is probably one of the only churches that I've been to that that usually there are more iPhones than Bibles. Yeah, especially usually in the front row, there's usually a very strong addiction to Apple products. There you go. That's a sermon for another day. I don't really want to get you. You don't want to get into that one right now. So why don't we go ahead and we'll start off in verse 12. And this is Jesus speaking. And he said, a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I am gone. So I hope, was I reading from the right version out there? Did that match? Okay, great. Jordan never mentioned what version he pulled this from, so he probably did. I just probably forgot. It's probably the more accurate term. So we see here right in the beginning that this person, this nobleman, is leaving. He's going to be crowned king, and he's giving a mission to everybody. And right in the beginning, he gives his servants an equal amount of money, and he says, you know, invest this while I'm gone. So he gave them a mission. For the time being, he gave them a mission. Invest my money while I'm gone, right? So continuing on, this is the part that I actually really struck out to me. It was kind of strange. I don't know, like, he says, but his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we do not want him to be our king. This to me was like reality TV. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the drama. Like, if anybody watches reality TV, you know it's just all about drama, right? Like, there's just this little stirring going on in the background. I thought this was really interesting, and that when I read it in the message, it said that, it explained it a little more, saying that, you know, this is a person who had been, you know, chosen to lead, and he was going off to be crowned king over the land. But a lot of people weren't really, like, cool with it. They're like, we don't want this guy to be our leader. Like, we don't want him to be the one telling us what to do. Let's, you know, like, rise up and write a petition and be like, we don't want this guy to be our leader. Right? So there's a group of people that were kind of, like, uncool with what was going on here, right? And I thought that was interesting that I pointed it out in the story. And, like, you know, thinking of the way we are today, I associated that's the drama. So this is the point of drama in our story here. And in verse 15, we keep going. So he says, after he was crowned king, he returned and called the servants to him who he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. Because remember, he had given them the task. He said, invest this money. And so now he's returned. He's been king. So obviously the protest didn't work out so well. And it comes. So he comes back and says, you know, what did you do with my money, guys? Like, let's talk about this. So in 16, he says, the first servant reported, Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount. Now, they don't really exactly say how long he was gone, but anyone can tell you, if you get a 10-time return on your investment, that's a pretty remarkable return. Do you guys agree? Yes. All right. So the first servant did pretty good. He did pretty good, right? I mean, you all have probably heard this story, and you've, you know, we're going to go through this, and you'll probably recognize what we're talking about here. And so his response, obviously he's pretty happy. I mean, if I gave one of you, you know, let's say $1,000, and I said, you know, I'm going to be gone for a little while, like, take this, invest it. And if I came back and you were like, yeah, man, I made, like, you know, it's like $10,000 now. I would be ecstatic. Like, I mean, if that happened to any of you, I think you'd be pretty impressed. Does that sound impressive? Good. We can agree on that. That's cool. So he says, well done. He was, like, super excited. He's like, well done! Are you excited? Well done! Yeah. Woo! Yeah. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, and you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward. Wow. That's pretty cool. Can you guys agree to that?
Yes.
Good. Imagine, like, I don't know this time period. Let's say, he says it's, you know, this is a... Let's say he was gone 6 months. That might even be a long period of time. So he was gone for a couple months, comes back, this guy got 10 times the return, and, you know, like, that's like a pretty good couple months, right? You know, you invested it, you had a couple good months. Imagine being an investor in the city of Toronto, and your goal was to invest all this money, and you had a really great 6 months, and you, like, got 10 times the profit, and they're like, oh, that's awesome. You know what? We're going to make you governor of Mississauga, Etobicoke, Aurora, you know, and then, like, 10 other cities across the country. That's because you're doing that good of a job. Would that be pretty cool? That would be pretty phenomenal. Just, like, think of how much exponentially he got a reward for his investment. Pretty solid?
Yeah. Solid.
That's like indication to be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a cheesy, you know, have you guys seen this new song, the Friday song? So, like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you gotta be like, yeah. For those who've seen it, you'd know totally what I'm talking about. Let's pretend it's a cheesy, you know, 13-year-old song. See that got you excited, you know what I mean? Like, this whole thing, you know, I mean, this is what we're gonna talk about. I just gotta be like, yeah, you know that song Friday? Like, that's pretty much what it's like. They've got like 18 million hits on YouTube in like 2 weeks. Is that cool? Yeah, it's awesome. There you go, jeez. So continuing on here, he says, the next servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 5 times the original amount." Is that pretty good?
Yeah.
Woo! This is Friday also.
Yeah!
All right. So he did pretty darn good too. Like, you know, I mean, if I had come back and I had $5,000 from somebody else, I'd be pretty impressed as well. You know, I mean, he's not quite as impressed as the other guy, because the other guy did double what he did. But he also took that and made huge profit in that short period of time. So his response to him, just the same, he says, "Well done." And there's an exclamation point on here. So he was pretty happy. It's Friday.
Yeah!
So there you go. The king said, "You will be the governor over 5 cities. So he got the same type of reward. He got the same type of reward. And you all know where this is going. There's a third servant. Do you guys know about the third servant? You're aware of the third person in the story? This person thought it was Saturday. Not as good. They were totally off. Only fun things happen on Friday. Jeez. There we go. So he says, the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, "Master, I hid your money and kept it safe. I was afraid because you're a hard man to deal with. Taking what is yours and harvesting crops you didn't even plant." So this third person, he's got a few judgments, as you can tell, right? A few judgments. Can you agree there's a few judgments going on here? You guys know what judgments are?
Yes.
If I gotta make another reference to Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Okay. So, pop culture makes young adult church so much more fun. There we go. So the third servant in this situation, he's got a few judgments here. He's not really impressed with the way this ruler was doing things. He's probably one of the guys who signed the petition to be like, "We don't really want this guy to be our king," right? So he's in that crowd that's like, this guy doesn't really know what he's doing, right? So he's got a little bit of mistrust. He's got some judgments going against this guy. And he tells him, too. He's pretty frank about it. Like, he didn't hide it. When the guy came back, he's like, "You know, I thought you were a pretty tough guy. Like, you know, you do some things I'm not cool with. And, you know, like, I didn't want to do anything with you. So I kept the money. You know, I didn't spend it. Like, you know, I kept it and everything. I just didn't want to invest it," right? So he didn't really do what he asked, but he didn't really want to do what he asked, right? So then his response, the king's response is like, "You wicked servant," again, exclamation point, "you thought it was Saturday." All right, so it only flew one time. We'll try it again later. The king roared, "Your own words condemn you. If you knew that I was a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvested crops I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least you could have gotten some interest on it." So, I mean, the king makes a pretty good point here. He's like, I mean, even if you don't like me, why not just be, like, somewhat smart? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, why not at least take what I've given you and, like, do something with it? You don't have to think I'm cool. You don't have to like me. But at least do something with it, right? And so we're going to continue reading a couple more verses here. "And he turned to the other standing nearby and ordered," and the king ordered, "take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. And they're like, "But master, he already has 10 pounds. And he's like, "Yes, yes, I know. The king replied, "And to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But those who do nothing, even with the little they have, it will be taken away. And as for those enemies of mine," maybe we're not supposed to keep going there. Yeah, that's good. Anyways. You ever get on the iPhone and just keep going, but that's a BlackBerry, so it's okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. If I go off on tangents, just ignore me. I didn't say anything about love, I just said tangents. All right. So let's talk about this a little bit more. When we look at the first part of this, the interesting thing that happens here is that God gave every single person something. Well, his servants. He gave his servants something. The master in the story. And I'm probably, we're saying God because this is a parable. So God was using this as an analogy of the kingdom of heaven. So he says to him, I'm giving everything something to every one of my servants. That's what he's talking about. So it wasn't, he wasn't being, you know, he wasn't like looking like, in this earth, the way we typically do things, if, you know, if you work at a job and like say you're doing an internship and there's 10 people doing an internship. And, you know, at the end of this internship, you know, they've kind of evaluated you, they've been watching you, they've been looking at you and kind of trying to figure out, okay, where can we fit this person in? At the end of that internship, you know, they've got 6 jobs, they kick 4 of them out who they didn't like too much. And the other 6, they give, you know, depending on how much they probably liked them, how good of a job they did, they gave them, you know, responsibilities according to how they performed, right? They have an education to back it up, they seem to do well, they've got potential. In this story, the master didn't exactly evaluate and think, well, this guy's probably going to get me more money, so I'll give him, you know, twice the amount as everyone else. He gave everyone else the equal amount. So he started them off with a gift. He started them off with something to invest, right? He gave everyone a portion. It was the same portion. It was an equal portion, right? So he wasn't being selective in this situation. I find that kind of interesting. And the thing that we learn when he comes back was that his intent was not for them, because he told them to invest, right? He said, take what I've given you and invest it. So his intent wasn't for them just to be happy with what they had. His intent was actually for them to have way more, right? His intent for them was to have above and beyond what they were given, right? So he gave everybody something, and he wanted to give all of them even more. And we see when he comes back, and the people who actually invested this money and they took what they were given and used it to their potential, he gave like way, way more. Like we were talking about it, like, you know, the reward was way more than what they invested. Like, you know, they invested, you know, this pound of silver and he got 10 pounds of silver out of this, but then he got 10 cities. You know what I mean? Like the reward was so great for what he was doing. This is, I think this is something that I find interesting about Christianity and kind of the way we are. The other point is, the third person who didn't get anything in this situation was, he had an opportunity, but when he was given, he didn't take the opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? So he was given the chance to do something, but because he didn't, you know, he didn't understand what the master was doing, he didn't really like what he was doing, he didn't really do anything with it. And this is what I think anyone who's probably, a lot of people who are in my cell or have heard me talk before, would probably know that I have this thing where I call couch Christians, they're the couch Christians. And this third guy is a bit of a couch Christian. He was given the opportunity but didn't recognize the opportunity that he had, so instead he sat on the couch and waited, right? And it's interesting because I think all of us, and what this story is saying, that God's given every single one of us giftings. He's given every single one of us something to invest, right? He's given all of us something of value, and we often don't recognize that, right? We often don't recognize that there's something really cool that we've been given, and it's this something of value, but we don't recognize it, right? And that's what this person missed. That's what he missed. He was given into it, but he wasn't ready to act because he didn't really understand the picture. He didn't really understand what was going on. So instead of just like even being half decent with it, he did nothing with it. And that's usually what I call the couch potato Christian, because oftentimes we're sitting around just waiting for God to do something, right? We're waiting for, you know, the pot of gold to appear on the couch next to us. But it's more likely going to be a pot of potato chips. That was a joke. Okay, that was a joke. That was a joke. A kid. Oh, yeah. See, I'm laughing. The best comedians laugh at themselves, right?
Yeah.
There we go. It took a minute. You got it. So, you may be asking yourself, well, John, what would make us miss out on an opportunity? I mean, what seriously would make us want to sit on the couch and wait for a bowl of potato chips when we want a pot of gold? Right? What would make us do that? Oh, I'm going to tell you, Sheena. It's fear. That's what the slide says. It's true. Fear. He said, I was afraid. You know, like, he's like, man, like, I thought you were a tough guy. Like, I didn't want to, like, you know, ruin anything. You're a tough guy. You're probably going to, like, harvest my crops and never let me make any money because you do that kind of thing. Right? Like, he was all, like, he was afraid. He was fearful of using the gift that he had, because if he didn't do it quite right, he thought the master was just going to come down on him and be like, man, you suck. You know, like, you didn't do anything with this. Like, I gave it to you and you just wasted it. Like, you're the worst. Right? Like, he was so afraid, like, he just, like, was like, I'm just going to sit on the couch and kind of wait. You know, there's a lot of good things on TV. Good reality shows. That's a joke. Yeah. So, he's afraid. I mean, like, how often are we afraid? All the time. How often are we, like, you know what, I'd love to... You know, I believe I have a gift of singing, or I believe I have this awesome talent, and I know, like, when I picked up a guitar, like, I started learning it, like, instantly. I didn't even have to take lessons. I'm not talking about myself. So, you know, you just started playing, and you're just like, man, I'm awesome. You know, and you're like, this is so cool. Like, I wish I could use this gift. You know, I wish I could just go and do something. You're like, and you're like, you know, there's this really cool teacher, and he gives all these awesome lessons, and, you know, I heard this is really awesome school I could try to get into. Yeah, but it's pretty tough to get in. You know, it's tough. It's hard. Yeah. You know, I played it for my mom. She didn't even like it. She's like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. Again, I'm not talking about me, but, you know, like, he was afraid. I mean, we all are so... You know, we have fear. I mean, like, it's a natural thing. It's human nature to be afraid, to, like, not want to go after what you're called to do or what God's given you, right? There's so, you know, so it's very easy to be like, man, like, people aren't going to like me, or, like, you know what, like, that teacher, he's really hard. Like, he's the hardest guy out there. Like, he puts, the, you know, people through such tough lessons, like, you know, their fingers bleed. Right? You know, I mean, like, and so it's easy just to be like, I don't want to put myself through that. I don't want to, like, you know, embarrass myself. What if I go to perform and, you know, the wire comes out of my guitar and I trip on stage? That's me. That happened. I'm not even joking. It was awful. We're playing at this band I was in. We're playing at this, I don't know, it's like some church or something, and we're trying to be all hardcore, and we're, you know, we've got big amps, and we're playing, and we're rocking out. And I ran across the stage, and just to show the emotion, to show the power, the raw ability of my vocals. And in the process, I tripped over the guitar player's cord and pulled it out of the stack amp behind him. And then we fumbled around trying to get it together and act like we do this all the time. See, that one was about me. That's what I gotta get you guys. A few more pitiful stories about myself and you'll just go crazy. If only they had YouTube back then. It would have been viral, I'm telling you. So, you know, what else is going on here? What else is happening in this story? Well, obviously there's some mistrust, right? The wretched number three here. I mean, like, the other guys, the guy who got half, I mean, he's getting off pretty easy. Like, they don't even talk about him after this, you know? The other two guys, like, they're governors of cities. They're, like, living the life, you know? They've got it made. But this third guy gets to be talked about for eternity. I mean, like, he's... You know, and why? Because he mistrusted. He didn't have the trust of God. Like, he didn't trust in his master's plan, right? He thought, you know what, I could probably do it better myself. Sound like anybody in the room? I've been there, right? You know, I mean, thought, you know what, I could manage my finances better than God could. I could, you know, manage my life better than God could, right? I mean, when you don't understand the vision, when you don't understand what the master plan is, it's easy to have mistrust, right? Maybe you haven't seen, maybe you had never seen this master perform his greatness, right? So maybe he'd been serving him, but he never noticed how good of a master he was. He sure noticed the things he didn't like about him, right? I mean, we saw that where he was like, man, like, and he's told him straight to his face. Like, I mean, at least the guy did that, right? I mean, at least he was like honest about what he felt about the guy.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't say, yeah, I invested your money and, you know, unfortunately I got nothing in return. He was like, dude, I wasn't even going to invest that. I don't like you. I mean, you know, that's what happened, right? So he mistrusted. He mistrusted him. He didn't have trust in him. He didn't understand what the guy was trying to do. You know, obviously, his family was of some pretty significant wealth that he was able just to throw 10 cities at a guy and then 5 at another. That sounds like a master who's got a pretty abundant amount of, you know, knowledge, right? I mean, that sounds like a master who has the capability to give exponentially to the people he's, you know, that are working for him, right? But because he didn't see it or he didn't understand it, He chose to, you know, choose that mistrust and that fear that we're talking about, right? I mean, you know, I can think of so many examples in my life where trust is not an easy thing. I mean, trusting God with finances is really hard. Has anyone had trouble trusting God with finances? I mean, I've been there, like, you know, moving to the city was a little tough for me. You know, I mean, I never lived here, I didn't know anybody, didn't have any friends here. And, you know, God was like, yeah, move there. All right. The money I'm making is 65% of my rent. You know, financial teaching says, well, don't go beyond 30. I was double that. You know what I mean? It was tough, right? I mean, it's hard to you know, it's easy to look at the circumstance, right? And like Jordan talked about last week, of letting money make our decisions. But, you know, God wants us to trust him because the thing is that he's a little better at seeing the greater picture than we are, right? I mean, any time that I've chosen to, you know, trust in myself and trust in the things that I'm, you know, capable of, that usually goes to a certain level, right? I mean, you can get as far as your knowledge and your ability can take you. Right? I mean, if you had that natural gift of playing the guitar, you know, there comes to a certain point where you need someone who's better than you to take you to the next level, right? I think musicians can agree in here that, like, your natural ability only takes you so far, right? There comes to a point where you're looking for people who are better than you, because with those people that are better than you, they take you to the next level, right? I mean, as a musician, I could go around being like, yeah, you know, I'm awesome. Like, I just pick up a guitar and I play. People love it. That could be true. I don't know. But, you know, it's like without, you know, the thing that's interesting is when I've been around people that are better than me, I get better. Right? And that's what this guy didn't really see. He didn't see that his master was probably a little bit smarter than he was. He had a bigger vision. He had had more experience. His family, he came from a, you know, a wealthy family, a family that acquired great, massive wealth that he was now going to be crowned king, you know, but like, so it's easy to kind of be like, well, you know, I'm pretty cool. Like, you know, I've got this bag of silver that guy just gave me. I'll just sit on the couch with it. Whatever they had back there, I don't know, a tree? A rock? Rock at a hard place? That's where he was. That's where that saying came from. It's been proven. It's on YouTube. It's on Wikipedia. It's where all the best information comes from. Selfishness. I mean, they're using the same verse here, but like, he's you know, he's showing all of these signs, right? He only thought about himself. He's pretty selfish. I work in marketing and advertising, and to be honest, I don't always really agree with the people that I'm working for. They sometimes have a lust of money, and, you know, that's all they think about. But if my boss gives me the, you know, go sell this product, I could be like, oh, I don't really want to sell that product. And then I won't really make any money, like this guy. And, you know, I mean, it's easy to think about yourself when you don't agree, right? I mean, how many of us could probably think of that? Like, you know, I'm selfish. I want to think about myself. I want to think about, that's what happened here, right? He's afraid of what was going to happen to him. All he thought about himself. And in the end, like, things didn't really go too well for this guy, right? I mean, I think we all can agree that he wasn't exactly in the part of the conversation that people were cheering about. He was the guy that got the money taken from him. The master was just like, you know what? Forget it. Like, you're fired. That was a really bad impression. I'm sorry. Forgive me. That was Donald Trump, FYI. You're fired. This guy's probably a lot like Trump, you know? He had a great wealth, a great hairpiece, and, you know, that's all I got. There's at least three people who find me hilarious in here, but, you know, it's all that matters. My printer did a really bad job of this. All right, so how do we overcome fear? How do we, you know, take ourselves to that place where we're not really afraid anymore? Well, I think it really starts with trust, right? I mean, read this. We're talking from the scripture here in Matthew 14. You don't have to turn there, but it says, you know, Jesus. It was talking about Jesus. It says Jesus multiplies loaves and fish with the disciples, and the thing is. The thing of faith here and overcoming the fear is the disciples. Put yourself in their situation. There's like thousands of people. They got a couple fish, some loaves, and they're like, and Jesus is like, yeah, man, we're going to feed everybody. I think I'd be a little uncomfortable with that situation. Anyone else? You know what I mean? Like, you've got an angry mob of people standing in front of you, which was, you know, way bigger than what's in this room. And you're like, don't worry, guys, I'm going to feed you all. I've got, like, you know, I've got five crackers in my hand. It's going to be cool. You know, so the disciples were having to act out in faith because Jesus is like, guys, it's cool. Like, you know, we're gonna do this. We're going to multiply the food. And do you know when the food actually multiplied? Not instantly. It didn't happen when they brought the food. They were like, here's Jesus, five loaves, 10,000. No, it was like when they started breaking it, right? When they acted out in faith, when they acted out the plan that he called them to do, right? When they started, we're like, okay, here's some for you, here's some for you, here's some for you, and then we still got some more, so keep going. And they just kept going, they kept going, they kept going, they kept going. And there was enough, right? I mean, like, the third guy in this story would have been, like, he would have left, you know what I mean? Like, he just would have been like, you guys are crazy, man, I'm out. There's, you know, something going on the other mountain. It's a rock concert, it's way better. This new teenage sensation. Friday. It's all linked. Just stay with it. So, you know, that's how we overcome fear is trusting God. Right? I mean, because like I said before, if we trust in our own ability, I mean, we might get okay. If we trust in our own confidence or we trust in our own abilities, we might get from, you know, as we might get pretty far. You know, we might go and do great things, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who have great talents, and, you know, and they go pretty far. But, like, imagine what they would have done if they had God in their life. Imagine if they were trusting God. If every person in this room trusted God, imagine what would happen, right? Imagine if everyone in this room, you know, took their studies and took whatever they're doing in their life and gave it to God. Imagine what would happen, right? If we didn't live in fear, we didn't worry about, you know, about where we're going, or what, you know, if we didn't fear these things, imagine how awesome it would be. So how do we overcome mistrust? It says, the servant couldn't trust because he didn't have the vision. And I mean, we've been talking about that. You know, to understand what God wants to do in our life, we have to usually, you know, ask him and get kind of that vision to understand what's happening, right? because, you know, how many times have I been in that place where, you know, I didn't know what to do. I'm like, you know, I didn't know, God, where am I going to go to school? What am I going to do? What am I going to, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I keep asking this question and I don't get any answers, and then you get really frustrated because you don't know what you're doing. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. That happened to me. Like two other people. You know, what, you know, God is in this, he's saying, like, I want you to trust me. You know, I want you to know that I see beyond what you see. Right? What happened is, you know, we're talking about there's this mistrust, there's this misvision. And we have to sometimes be in that place where we ask God and we say, God, like, you know, what is your vision here? Because, you know, I've been running with my vision for a year now and it's pretty much the same as it was last year. You know, like, I'm in the same place. I'm in the same boat. You know, I'm still not really getting. Do you have a greater picture here? And he's like, well, yeah, of course I have a greater picture here. You just haven't asked me what the greater picture is. Right? And, you know, the third point as well is, hey, you know, how do we overcome the selfishness? How do we do that? Give it away. I mean, you know, like, the easiest thing to learn to trust God is in that situation where you're like, God, I don't know if I have enough money if I give my tithe this week. I don't know if I'll have enough for the things that I think I need. And then you say, you know, God, I'm choosing to trust you and believe you. And then you have extra money. Right? I mean, has that ever happened to anyone here where you're like, I'm having a tough time trusting God with my finances. I'm having a tough time, you know, giving to him, right? And that's how we overcome selfishness, is giving it to God, is saying, you know what, these actually belong to you, not me. And taking the stance of, you know, trusting God. And it's really hard. I mean, I know that. I mean, it's not easy. I've learned at trying to trust God. I mean, I've been trying to trust him for, you know, 3-4 years with my finances, and it's not easy. I talked about that in, you know, the tithe talk last week, where it was like, it's not easy, right? Do you agree?
Yes.
I concur. So here's, you know, what I want you to think about for like just a second. You can go ahead, John, and give me some keys. I think I agree. I do want that now. Just feels right. That's sarcasm. Slightly. So think for a moment about yourself. You know, whether it's, you know, a lot of people here at university, a lot of people are probably thinking about, what do I do in a month? You know, when you're in university, you finish your studies for the year, what do I do? You know, do I trust God? Do I do what he's saying that I should do? That's, you know, a situation a lot of people are probably in. Or think about yourself. Think about what situation you're in. And think about, what fears do I currently have about my life situation? Right? You know, like, what is going on in my life that's going to, you know, change me or impact me over the next 3-6 months? And, you know, how do I feel about that? Am I afraid about that? You know, is there some fear? There's some anxiety. And life changes often cause anxiety. Life, new experiences, you know, cause us to be afraid at times, right? You know, moving to, you know, new responsibilities can be tough, right? It's challenging. And there's fear associated usually with challenges. And there's maybe, like we said, anxiety. So just take a second, think about yourself, and think about one situation in your life. And ask yourself if you're, you know, am I afraid about that? So just take a second. ask God the question, say, God, why am I afraid? You know, what is it that I'm afraid of? You know, do I see you as a tough master? Do I see you as somebody who's could be really hard on me? Am I afraid if I make this decision, my parents might not really be happy? You know, if I decide to, you know, change my schooling, are they not going to be cool with that? That can be a tough expectation. You know, I think a lot of people here have had that moment where, you know, you're like, you really, you know, been told, you know, you're a really smart kid, you need to go to science. You need to go to mathematics, you know, and you've been doing that for a year or two, and you're like, you know what, God, I really want to do English, you know. The thought of English when you're a scientist, it's crazy talk. And you might be like, people are going to think that's crazy. You know, I want to be in theater. My parents would be like, you can't get a job. You know what I mean? There's that fear, there's that expectation, like, you know, they're counting on me to be a doctor. God, we choose to trust you when it comes to fear, God. When there's situations, God, in our life where we're afraid of what people are going to say, we're afraid of people are going to think, God, we're afraid of breaking the expectations that people have in our life, God. What will they think, God? But God, the question we should be asking ourselves is, what do you think about us, God? God, if I decided to leave science and went into theater, would you be totally happy about that? God, if I get up and move to South Africa, is that what you want me to do? Because I feel like I want to do that. You know, God, do you want me to go to England to pursue that dream that I've wanted to? Or are you calling me, God, to go work in Japan for 6 months to help people instead of going back to school next semester? Maybe that's what he's saying. I don't know. So God, I pray that you just remove fear from us, God. Just connect to him and just talk to him and take a moment just to speak with him and get out kind of what you've been feeling. God, your expectations, and what you want us to do, God, mean more than anything. You've given us all gifts, God. As this parable suggested, God, that you gave your servants equal. You gave everybody something, God. You didn't leave any of us out. And because you gave us these gifts, God, you knew that we could invest it. Because you told us to invest it, God. You said invest it. You didn't say most of you invest this. You said all of us. So God, we break off fear that we're not good enough for those goals, God, or dreams. The dreams that we have are not bigger than us, God. You know, I know that we're talking about finances, but, you know, this dives so much deeper. You know, this parable is not just talking about finances, right? Maybe classified investing, but what is investing? You know, this is God was suggesting, invest the gifts that I've given you, right? Go to university for what your passion is. You know, put your energy into what God is calling you to do, right? God, fear is not of you, because you entrusted us with these things, God. You entrusted us with these gifts, God, and you told us to invest it, God. So, God, we release fear. So just go ahead and just release fear. God, I release fear. The fear does not belong to any of us in here. Let it go. If you're afraid, just pull it off. Throw it behind you. Just not directly behind you, you know what I mean? That's a joke. God, we let go of fear, God, because we don't need it. You didn't call us to live in fear, God. You called us to use these gifts and just multiply them. And God, you're going to give us way more. The dream that we have probably won't be as much as you want to give us, God. It won't be, because it says, God, that you want to give us way, way, way more. You want to bless us more than we imagine. And that could very well be in finances, God. That could be very well that you're going to give us keys to invest, God. Even finances, God. So, God, we just also release the fear that's been holding us back when it comes to finances, God. The fear of not having enough, we let go, God. The fear of what am I going to do next year, God? What am I going to do tomorrow, God? What am I going to do in a month from now, God? God, we choose to not let money make our decisions, God. But we choose to look to you to make the decisions, God. And let the motivator be what you're saying and not what we see. Because you're a big and awesome, powerful dad who has more than enough for us, God. You are limitless in your love. You're limitless in what you can give and provide, God. So, God, we just let go of fear. We're just going to take just 3 more minutes. I'm just going to worship God for just a couple minutes. Cool? Cool.
Like sweet.